Be seated, please. This is a rubric, those little sometimes red italicized instructions to us in the prayer book, a rubric from page 426 of the Book of Common Prayer within the liturgy for the celebration and blessing of a marriage. Between the readings, a psalm, hymn, or anthem may be sung or said. Appropriate psalms are 67, 127, and 128. So, and I know I've mentioned this to you before, today's psalm is one of only three explicitly deemed appropriate or recommended for readings at a wedding, for reading at a wedding. Today we read it in this Easter season between readings about Paul's dream of planting the church in Macedonia and John's vision of the heavenly Jerusalem. The themes are big, cosmic in places, and earthy at the same time. There's such expansiveness as this in the language of the collect and readings, frequently mentioning nations and peoples. The collect also sets the tone for this with allusions to good things surpassing our understanding, loving God in and above all things, of God's promises that exceed all that we can desire. The psalm itself, this wedding psalm, we'll call it for a moment, speaks in these same sweeping terms, even though it is directed primarily to an audience of two, the soon-to-be married couple. The psalmist asks for God to be merciful and to bless, well, in that case, especially the couple. Then immediately the focus shifts from God's action in regard to two people in love to God's ways being made known upon earth among all nations. Perhaps this is to remind the couple that they do not live in a vacuum, that as they form this bond between themselves and with God, they're part of a larger picture, that they are meant to participate in making God's mercy and blessings known upon earth. And sure enough, the next lines in the psalm speak of all peoples praising God, nations singing for joy, of all the earth bringing forth her increase. Then in the last verse and a half, the focus seemingly returns to that of the first. May God give us his blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe of him. It seems to me that we see here the constant zooming, if you'll excuse the term, in and out. In our faith, the shift of focus from the individual to the entire cosmos. It's beyond our imagining as we pray in the collect. This cosmic God who created all that ever was and ever will be, that God is concerned with us and our relationships, loving us as we take our place, our own little place, in the epic sweep of space and time. This love is as individual and intimate as Paul's having a dream or John experiencing a vision. And it's so grand and powerful that that God affects all the nations of earth and beyond. This presence and power and love of God for us Christians is literally embodied in the incarnation. It is the cosmic power of God born into the world, as every one of us has been, a tiny, helpless human being, utterly dependent on a mother's care. All that creative force is entrusted into the care of loving parents. It is all the universe found nursing at the mother's breast. Jesus tells his disciples, that's us, that he and his Father, both part of the one God, come to us and make their home with us. In fact, in my imagination, at least, this passage from John must have been part of the inspiration for the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, that great mystery whose feast day approaches and for which I will be absent, I think, so you'll get to hear from a supply priest about that. In Jesus' next breath, he tells the disciples, the Holy Spirit will teach you everything. So he says, the Father and I are with you. The Holy Spirit is coming to teach you everything. In this continuation of last Sunday's discourse, you know, that Maundy Thursday passage, those final words he shared on the night before his crucifixion, Jesus reassures those who have been with him from the beginning of his ministry. He says, we, whom we now call the Holy Trinity, will be with you. We, the God in all things and above all things, we who have been from before the beginning of all things, will make our home with you. I have been in your midst. I am one of you. And when I leave you physically, this Holy Spirit will teach you, will reinforce that which I have already taught you. This world can be a scary place, we can almost hear him say, and the imminent events of my torture and death will be a horrific example of how true that is. You will be afraid from time to time, and understandably so, but you need not be overcome by your fears. We, this far away, distant God, will be with you always. The Holy Spirit will calm your hearts and minds and bodies if you will have faith in that and accept our loving presence in your midst and within your hearts. Those faithful Jews, those disciples, those followers of their wise and loving rabbi and friend might have heard in those words echoes of the psalm they surely knew by heart. May God be merciful to us and bless us, show us the light of his countenance and come to us, making his ways known upon earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.